This is Missing the Mouse. I'm Jeremy Pettigrew.
And I'm Brad Burleson.
Each week, it gets ever and ever closer to my trip to Walt Disney World. And I received my Walt Disney Travel Company package in the mail last week. It included my luggage tags, some really nice like plastic name tags to put on the luggage that I didn't get last time.
Oh, did you? I feel like I got the... Okay, so are you talking about like separate from the luggage tags?
Yeah, separate from the bright yellow ones. We got some like rubber ones that were not so nice, but these are like hard plastic.
Oh, okay, because I've gotten...
They feel really good.
I've gotten the rubber ones in the past. So by the luggage tags, you're talking about the Magical Express luggage tags.
Yes, sorry. Yes, the ones that, you know, say AK on them because I'm staying in an Animal Kingdom resort area and that for Magical Express to get my bags and take them to the room.
Right. So for people who don't know, the reason why Jeremy is getting luggage tags is because, as he said, Magical Express is going to handle his luggage. So when he and his wife and his mother-in-law, or mother, sorry, apologies to your mother who does listen to our podcast. when they arrive, they will not have to wait for their luggage. Magical Express handles picking that up and dropping it off directly at the room. And in order to do that, your luggage will need to be tagged explicitly for that. So it's very similar to the tags that they put on your luggage when you check your bags. It's just kind of a loop thing that goes on there and is kind of papery, I guess, but laminated papery or something, I guess. Yeah. And so that's the luggage tag. But now, like I said, I think the last time that we went, in addition to that, we got the rubbery ones, which were kind of cool, but they don't really stand up to everything that well. But you're saying now they've gone hard plastic.
They're hard plastic and they feel really like high end and nice.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. But it was interesting, you know, in 2012, we planned the trip on our own through Disney. I, you know, just called 407-WDW, whatever.
407-W-Disney.
Yes, there you go. And planned the trip that way. Disney booked our flights. Disney, you know, got our park hoppers and everything. And I got the package in just a Walt Disney World envelope. Everything was cool. This time, I've used a travel agent, and I kind of want to use this show as a way to kind of chronicle using a travel agent, because that's something that I never thought I would do, because that seems like a thing that only rich people would do. But what makes it nice with Disney is Disney pays the travel agent. I don't pay any more money for the travel agent. But I know it's different this time because I received all of my Walt Disney Travel Company stuff inside of a Kingdom Consultant Travel Company backpack. So what happened was Disney shipped this stuff to my travel agent. They then shipped it to me, which is interesting. I didn't know that the travel agent would be the intermediary between, you know, me and Disney the way that they are. I thought it was just like, hey, I've booked your trip for you.
Have fun. Now it's hands off.
Right. But they're really hands on all the time. And after I return from my trip, we'll do a show about my experience on the whole, but it's been really cool so far.
Yeah, that's kind of, it's almost a, it's a little bit scary, the idea that your stuff is going to go through somebody else. And I only say that because then it's out of Disney's hands and it's dependent on them to get it turned around and get it out. You know, and actually I was the one who suggested that you go Kingdom Consultants because I had used them, a few years back and actually the agent that works for them that you're using is the same one that I used. And again, we'll go into that into deeper detail, on, you know, one of the shows following your park visit, cause you'll have a better experience or a better feel for how the complete experience worked. But yeah, there's something that's a little bit, You almost don't want to deal with a new person because it's like, what happens if they get busy and forget to send you your luggage tags till like the day before or something?
Yeah, it was definitely, although, you know, I say it was definitely weird, but I didn't have a bad experience. Like I've never had a bad experience. And when I got the Kingdom Consultant thing, the first thing I thought was, oh, it went through them. Not, oh my gosh, you know, it went through them. Ugh. But I'm kind of okay with it because they've always, you know, they've done such a good job. But yeah, I would suggest, just as of right now, everybody use a travel agent because it is so easy and good.
Right. And I think that Disney probably, I don't think you can, I doubt there's a website I can go to and sign up right now. And suddenly, you know, 30 minutes later, you have been approved as a new Disney travel agent, sort of a thing. You know, I feel like there's a screening process because Disney doesn't want you to have a bad experience either. And again, as far as Kingdom Consultants are concerned, and especially as far as Elizabeth is concerned, who is your travel agent,
right,
nothing for a moment would give me any pause to say, put your vacation completely in her hands. Like I said, it's just in a, when you take a step back and you think about, okay, there is now somebody else who is technically not a Disney entity that is now handling parts of my Disney experience. That seems a little bit weird, especially for a company like Disney, who is pretty much notorious, I guess, for their, you know, wanting to have control over every aspect of that experience. It's an interesting thing, but the takeaway there is that you are a little bit closer to being fully prepared for your trip. Has your wife already packed all the bags and everything, or have you already packed all the bags or anything?
She has not yet, but she has a very, very detailed carry-on list that she is updating and culling and stuff every day. So there will be no issues, I hope, with packing bags, because she's been making this list for about the last year.
Well, and that's, you know, and the thing is, it would be really easy for me to say, ha, 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 she's wasting all this time. But that is a really good plan. I like when people do that, because I can't count the number of times that I've tried to plan something very last minute. And especially when you're going to be gone for, how many days are you guys in the parks?
7.
Okay, so you're going to be gone for 7 days. Don't trust yourself to plan out what you're going to need for 7 days in 30 minutes. You know, I know some people use the, you know, the plan where they set the bag and they start throwing stuff in as they get close to the time, or just people like your wife who are making a list throughout the year. And that is absolutely brilliant, because inevitably you're going to come up with this thing and you're going to be like, oh yeah, I should probably take that with me. Oh yeah, I should probably take that with me. You will not think of those things if you're trying to throw everything in a bag at the last minute, and you will forget something, and hopefully it's something that you can easily replace.
Yeah. And I tease her about it, but you know, every trip we've ever gone on, we have had everything we've needed, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, so it's a good thing that your wife is the planner. So you are stepping closer, and you told me you want to turn part of this episode into tech reviews now?
Yes. Well, so my part of the planning has been technology related, which will surprise no one who knows me. So we own a DSLR, a Canon T5i.
That's computer, or that's tech speak for fancy camera.
Yeah, I have a fancy camera, and I do like to take fancy pictures. You know how it goes. You take photos, you take the SD card out of your camera, you plug it in your computer, or your printer, and download all the photos off of it. So I bought a new SD card called it's by a company called EyeFi, EyeFi. And it's their Mobi line. And basically what it allows you to do is create a Wi-Fi network on the SD card, connect your phone to that Wi-Fi, and download the pictures wirelessly from the camera to the phone. So my plan right now is to take a bunch of photos and then, like at lunch, download them all to my phone to have them on my phone, and you know, be able to edit them, tweet them, put them on Instagram, put them on Facebook, you know, share them just generally. And you know, I had worried before we went that the card wouldn't work at Walt Disney World, because sometimes, you know, public Wi-Fi like that is a little weird. But the fact that it makes its own Wi-Fi connection that just connects directly to the phone is neat, and it was unexpected.
So the advantage here, as opposed to, you know, because like you said, kind of the standard way of doing this is you pull that card out you put it in your computer, you take it up to Walgreens, CVS, wherever, you put it in a printer, some way of getting your photos out, I guess, is that you just don't need the computer or whatever anymore?
Yeah, it basically just takes the computer out of the process. So I can get the photos from my camera onto my iPhone just directly. And then I can even delete them from the camera if I need space.
Okay. So, I mean, you've got this thing in, I guess, and you've been playing with it. How does it work? I mean, not how does it work as in, because clearly you've explained how it works. How does it work? Does it work well? Does it work poorly? Is it a pain to do? That sort of thing.
Well, all of the Wi-Fi connection take place in the camera menu. And that's super easy. I mean, just like real easy. So far, I mean, transfers are pretty fast. I took three photos, I think, and transferred all three of them. And it probably took maybe 8 to 10 seconds per photo. So it could get long, you know, if I decide to take 1,000 photos one day. But I have yet to, or I haven't used it enough to know what it does to the camera battery life, which is what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
The camera battery, am I going to kill my camera battery transferring 100 photos over to my phone? But so far, man, it works way better than I thought. Like I was ready to try it, take it out of my camera, package it back up, and return it. But it works way better than I thought. And with this new Mobi line that connects right to your phone, they've really taken a lot of the complexity out of using these cards. And I'm really excited about it. And I'm really excited to be able to take good, professional-looking photos and be able to share them immediately, you know, and not have to just bombard everyone with 1,000 tweets or 1,000 photos on Instagram all at once when I get home.
Right. Yeah. Or even at the end of the day when you're exhausted, tired, and all you want to do is jump into bed, but wait, I've got to pull the computer out, start it up, plug this in, wait for all the photos to offload and go through them then.
Yes. Because of this card, I am not taking a computer.
Oh, so you're going to try to do the entire trip without it. So
I am. I'm not taking my Mac at all.
Man, you're really depending on this. So this thing had better work is what I'm hearing.
Well, the card is 32 gigs. And I think even in the high quality JPEG mode, I can take 4,000 photos on it. So worst case scenario, the card fails completely in the transferring ability. And I just have a standard SD card.
See, my only problem is that, especially at Disney, it seems like, I get in this really bad habit of parades. Parades and shows are the worst, because I will sit there and I will just snap, 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 just continuously almost of a specific element. So I might take 20 pictures of a single character, but my entire plan is they're constantly moving. I want to get a good picture here, so why wouldn't I take 20 pictures? Pick the one I like and just toss out the rest.
Right. And I mean, I can still do that, you know, that way, even if I just do it on the camera. But having them on my iPhone, you know, barring complete transfer failure, will let me just, you know, import them and delete them off the camera.
Yeah. And I actually like this idea, because if you're handling your photos daily, you're more likely to actually go through them. I probably still have some photos from previous trips that I haven't gone through, because I did exactly what I just explained, where I took 20 pictures. I didn't take the time to go through them and pick the best one. And when you've got 5 or 7 days worth of pictures to go through, that can be extremely daunting and just overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. I can't tell you the number of times I've opened iPhoto and hit import from card, and I have 1,200 pictures staring at me, and I'm like, nope, can't do that right now.
Yeah, I don't have 4 hours of my life to give away right this moment.
Right, and to be able to handle them 100 or 200 at a time is good. It's going to be easy.
Well, and you're going to be handling them much closer to when you've actually taken the photo. you kind of still have in your mind what you were looking for.
Right.
So you're going to know which photo you're really going to like. So yeah, I think this is going to be interesting. We'll definitely have to get an update post trip of how it actually worked. But in the meantime, you know, I'm sure you'll be tweeting, Instagramming all that stuff, these photos, so we can see them on our Missing the Mouse, Facebook page? Well, probably not Facebook page, because that'd be a pain to try to upload to, but at least on our Twitter account, right?
Yes. On our Twitter, I will post many, many pictures. I forgot to say, though, so the card comes with a free 90 days of iFi Cloud. So when I import the photos onto my phone, it will get them off of the camera and upload them to iFi's website. So it's not only is it redundancy in that the photos are on the camera and on my phone, but they're also uploaded in the full resolution to iFi's cloud hosting. So I can, if I were to take a computer, or if my wife wants to see the photos, all of them, she can log into our account on her phone and they will all be there. Or they'll all be there if I log into my account on my computer. And so that's a second level of redundancy and kind of a backup.
Right. So essentially you're probably going to, as long as you can, keep your photos on your photo card, on your memory card, also have them backed up on your phone, and then finally you'll have them up in the cloud as well. So even if, say, heaven forbid, someone should steal your camera and phone, you would actually not lose those photos, which could be much bigger to you than what the actual devices themselves are anyway.
Right. And I can't believe I forgot to talk about that, because that was the main impetus for me buying this card, was automatic photo backup.
Yeah. So like I said, that sounds sweet. So we're going to definitely have to get a update on that. So we've covered luggage tags. We've covered camera stuff. Is there anything else that we need to cover about your upcoming trip before we go around the world?
I don't think so, except that so today, as we record, it's October 30th. Saturday is November 1st. And on Saturday, I officially enter the month of my trip.
So you're going to be, you know, tweeting pictures of yourself in mouse ears and just going crazy, right?
Oh, man. Oh, man.
People just think you're excited.
Yeah, you thought I was excited 6 months ago when we started talking about this. You ain't seen nothing yet. I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
So so the last thing that we do want to cover today, though, has absolutely nothing to do with your trip.
No, not this one anyway.
Hopefully your bucket list, and definitely on my bucket list again, Oriental Land Company, actually today, the day that we're recording on the 30th, did put out a press release that they are planning some new development for Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo DisneySea. So this is a 500 billion yen, which is about 4.6 million U.S. Plan over, I think, 10 years.
It's 4.6 billion. 500 billion yen.
Yes, 500 billion yen, 4.6 billion yen. So a lot of money going into this. And actually, yeah, it's for the next 10 years. And essentially, so what they're doing is they're actually going to renovate a huge chunk, if not all, of their Fantasyland. And then they're going to double the size of Fantasyland. So essentially what we just saw happen at Walt Disney World and Magic Kingdom with new Fantasyland, now Tokyo Disneyland is about to get new Fantasyland. And then, go ahead.
And well, they've said that there's going to be major new attractions, restaurants, and shops in the new site.
Right. And so in addition to that, they're also going to be adding a new port. So whereas, you know, we have lands in many of the stateside Disney parks, they actually have ports at DisneySea. They're adding an entirely new port to Tokyo DisneySea. So huge changes coming in Tokyo Disney. They are putting a lot of money into this place. And like you said, we're talking new lands or a new land in Tokyo DisneySea. We're talking about new attractions in both of them, new restaurants, new shops. So there's going to be a lot of stuff going on over there.
But no names or anything, no details, just basically this is what we're doing. This is how much it's going to cost. check back with us in, what, 2018?
Right. Yeah, we do know, we know where these things are happening. We know the general area of where they're going to be adding on to Fantasyland, the area where the new port at Tokyo Disney Sea is going to go. They've also said they're building a new stage at Tokyo Disney Sea to help increase show visibility. And they are apparently looking at, which I, okay, so there's one photo of this, and you'll have to add it to the show notes, and we can tweet it out or whatever. But they've got a restaurant concept, and it's on the last page of the press release. But it's a restaurant concept of a restaurant directly on the parade route, and looks like probably a multi-floor restaurant. And essentially, they're going to put, you know, you can eat your lunch and watch the parade going by at the same time. And you're directly up against the window, and you're second floor, so nobody's going to be in front of you, and you have parade viewing area.
Wow. I'm looking at that picture right now. This looks amazing.
It looks to me like it's going to be a really, really overpriced cheeseburger. But
hey, man.
It's a cool idea. And you know, the parades are just huge, huge in the Tokyo, in the Tokyo Disney Resort area. Yeah. So it's no surprise they're adding this. You know, I could see them adding this actually to the stateside parks as well, probably. You know, if it takes off there. Again, this is, I don't think the stateside parks get nearly the traffic for parades that Tokyo does, but if it's a way to make money, and they could revamp one of our restaurants to add something like this, I could definitely see them doing that. But yeah, that's all that we know about. The only other thing, the Nikkei, it's Nikkei business review, before OLC put out this press release, said that they had apparently seen that with the Fantasyland renovation, It's a Small World would be moved, and in its place, a new Frozen attraction.
Shocking.
I know, right? More
shocking.
Or excuse me, as I say in Japan, Anna and the Ice Queen attraction.
Is it really? It's not Frozen.
It is not Frozen. I'm sure there's a very good reason for why. I don't know what that reason is, but yes, it's Anna and the Ice Queen in Tokyo, or in the entirety of Japan.
That's interesting, because the Ice Queen is the Hans Christian Andersen short story or story.
Right, it is the basis of Frozen. And that happens pretty regularly, where a lot of movies end up with different titles overseas for, like I said, reasons of, you know, copyright, or just it would be misunderstood by the target audience in this area. Cultural differences, things like that. And I'm sure it's something like that that is the reason why they did not go with the name Frozen. But yeah, so it's a little bit different. But they are looking at adding that attraction. Now, the interesting thing that I think Theme Park Insider actually, they did a, you know, of course, everybody's doing stories about the potential renovation that OLC is doing. And what they brought up is there's a new port going into Tokyo Disney Sea. We have no clue what that port is, but what if that new port were Arendelle?
That would make sense as a port, because all the, you know, fjords and whatnot.
Right, yeah, it actually totally fits within, though, I mean, it's a little bit different because none of the ports currently at Tokyo Disney Sea are specific to a film. You know, it's like Arabian Coast, Mediterranean Harbor, Mystery Island, and then they have attractions within them.
Right.
But it's not nearly as bad as Epcot, where here's a list of real countries and then we're going to throw Arendelle into the midst of them.
Sure.
You know, these are all just random things that we've come up with, and we want to build something around them, and Arendelle could easily fit within that. So. That could actually be kind of cool. And I think, I don't have a problem. I actually have no problem with Frozen going into Fantasyland. And
yeah, that's where it belongs.
Yeah. And I really even have no problem with Frozen, pushing off It's a Small World. If It's a Small World is simply being moved and potentially being improved in the process, because right now Tokyo, has a similar setup to Walt Disney World in Florida, where it's actually an inside load and everything, as opposed to Disneyland in California, where it's an outside load. So, you know, I don't know if they're looking at possibly making it better, better inside load, or possibly even turning it into an outside load, which I think is much cooler personally.
Outside.
Yeah, the outside load at Disneyland. Yeah. I like it better than Walt Disney World's inside load.
It just looks more fun because you actually get to see the huge facade and stuff from the park.
Right, yeah. You can actually see what you're coming up to as you're coming up to it. Whereas Walt Disney World, you know, you're just walking past this area that has attractions on both sides of you, but you really don't... it really fails to capture, I think, the hugeness of It's a Small World until you've walked in there and you've actually gone down, you know, where you can fully take in that entire facade.
Yeah.
And the facade, honestly, I like the Disneyland facade a little bit better as well, because it doesn't have to fit into that building, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
Has a lot to do with it.
It just seems more bigger, you know, more open.
Yes. So, like I said, if they did something like that with Tokyo Disneyland, I wouldn't even really have a problem with them moving. Now, they can't close down It's a Small World.
I don't think they would ever do that.
And I don't see them doing that either, but they can't close down It's a Small World. But they're more than, you know, I'm willing to allow them to move it for a Frozen attraction. And like I said, in Fantasyland, no problem whatsoever. And honestly, as much as Arendelle fits into Tokyo Disney Sea, I would actually prefer to see that be a Disneyland thing. And let Tokyo Disney Sea grow with another non-specific port that allows them to tell new stories that aren't directly tied to Disney properties all the time.
Yeah. I mean, this movie, I guess they're betting on the fact, and they're probably right, that this movie's not going to fall out of favor in the next, you know, 20 years. Much like, you know, Lion King is still huge, and Aladdin, and those really the classic Disney Renaissance films. I think they seem to really be banking on Frozen being that kind of a film.
And I don't think they're wrong about that, but, and I guess my thought there is kind of, like Epcot is to, Magic Kingdom, though. Total honesty, as much as I love Epcot, Tokyo Disney Sea is so much better than Epcot is, but it is a similar experience in that Epcot doesn't, or at least in the past, has not been driven by the characters, by the films, the way that Magic Kingdom is. And similarly, I feel like Tokyo Disney Sea, you know, steps outside the box quite a bit more than what Tokyo Disneyland would ever do, because Tokyo Disneyland is, you know, it's all focused around the Disney films, the Disney characters. And Disney Sea, you know, they've added stuff over time. You know, they've got, I think Toy Story is now over there. You know, they have character meet and greets, things like that. But yeah, I think I would actually like to see, to me, Tokyo Disney Sea is the place where Imagineers' minds are allowed to run wild. And I want to see that continue to happen over there, I guess.
Yeah.
So
I don't know how many of our listeners also listen to the Golden Horseshoe Review, but for the last month or so, they have been doing a recap of their trip to,
oh yeah, what Alex and Cable went over there.
Yeah. So they've been doing a recap of Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea. And if you care about Disney parks, and if you're listening to this, you certainly do, go check out that show, especially those episodes, just to hear about Tokyo Disney Sea. As someone who's never been there, it sounds amazing, and it sounds like a place that I definitely need to go.
Yes. The only problem with listening to them, you know, talk about Tokyo is it really, really makes me want to start planning my next trip over there, because it was amazing the first time I went, and, you know, now it just makes me want to go back so badly. So, yeah. Anyway, the moral of the story is we don't know what's coming yet. So it's an exciting time, though, because unlike so many things that tend to happen over here where it's like, oh, where are they going to tighten their belt next? That just never seems to be the case with OLC. Yeah. You know, it's like, where are they about to dump ridiculous amounts of money at next to do things? Though I will be interested to see if New Fantasyland is about new attractions, or if it's just, because so much of Tokyo Disneyland is some attractions which are huge improvements over the others. at other parks, but then some of them that are more or less carbon copies, you know, which is common for the Disneyland Magic Kingdom park. But I would like to see them throw some new stuff in there as well. But the question is, will they get that, or will they get Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and, you know, so many of the things that we saw with the Walt Disney World refresh.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see what's coming, but yet another reason to go to Tokyo, because hey, if you go now, you'll have an opportunity to see how everything is now, and then you can go again in 10 years when all this is done, and you can see how everything changed.
There you go. And I think that'll about do it for this week's episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook. We are Missing the Mouse. And you can visit us at our website at www.missingthemouse.co. And have a magical day.